Welcome to episode 18, Influencer Programs and What You Need to Know to Select the Right Ones.
Welcome to the PR Playbook Podcast with Ranjini Joshua, the only podcast that teaches you how to strategically navigate the world of public relations and social media and grow a powerful brand.
Welcome to episode 18. Today, I get the pleasure of introducing you to Laura Knapp, a dear friend of mine, as well as co-founder of Lex and Park, an influencer marketing company that strategically aligns brands and influencers to develop partnerships that drive value and have impact. Well, that was a mouthful. Hi, Laura. Thank you for being on the PR Playbook podcast. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me. I'm obviously a big fan of yours and a big fan of your new podcast. So I'm really happy to be featured in today's episode.
Yeah. And you're working from home. How is that going?
I am. You know, I actually work from home all day, every day anyway. The biggest change to my day-to-day or week-to-week schedule with all that's happening in our world at the moment has really been not going to the gym in the mornings and not doing lunch meetings, dinner meetings, there are no conferences to go to. That's been the biggest change. But my day-to-day 9 to 6, 8 to 6 hours are still mostly the same.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the conferences is like a huge shift for me. Obviously, I'm always traveling for clients and conferences. And then I know you do a lot of in-person meetings too. So I imagine That's kind of a little hole in your day.
It is. And I'm a big fan of happy hours and a big fan of dinner meetings, and those have had to be put on pause. So, so other than that, my day-to-day has been okay.
So what has been your coping mechanism? Like, I think everybody has something that they're trying to, especially people in business that are trying to do to stay productive. I am running pretty much every day. What are you doing to deal with the stay-at-home working situation?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me that has kind of kept me grounded through all of this is that I've maintained my schedule, because I guess my day-to-day work environment has shifted. So now my fiance is working from home in our living room every day. So now I do have, someone to have lunch with.
Yeah.
and someone else that takes up your time during the day. But my routine has remained the same. So I'm still waking up early in the mornings. I'm still doing my morning workouts. I try to turn off around 7, 6, 7, 8 time period at night.
That's a big range.
Yeah, it's a big range. I think you understand, Ranjini, as a business owner, especially when you're working from home, the work doesn't stop. So
yeah.
I do try to, pause for dinner, pause for TV time at night, or some way to unwind. But keeping my routine has been the number one priority.
Well, then, speaking of business, we'll just segue right into it. I'm really excited to have you on because I knew that we were going to have to address influencer relations at some point or another, as it's part of what we do pretty much on a regular basis and what people ask about as well. I think many brands are still not completely familiar with how influencers work, even though I feel like people talk about it a lot as far as like YouTube influencers and Instagram influencers and bloggers. But I think more specifically, they're not sure what the agency role is in that. And maybe they haven't worked with influencers directly and understand the dynamic between having a manager and an influencer and what they should be getting. So I kind of wanted to go over that today. You manage Lex and Park with your partner. And just for the sake of information, I think it would be good to start this interview off with like, what is the role of an influencer agency in connecting brands with influencers?
Yeah. So as Lex and Park, we manage or represent influencers. And for us, we're really focused on that micro to macro influencer. And if you Google the terms, there's a whole variety of ranges. Well, what we stick to is 10,000 followers on Instagram specifically or more. So right now our roster, we have over a dozen influencers. We specifically represent all women. So we have over a dozen, and they range from 10,000 followers to 500,000 followers. And our role is to represent them. So we are their champion. It is coming from a PR background. The term client is a tricky one because are they our client or is the brand paying us our client? But so we play both roles. We have to make sure that the brands and agencies that work with us are happy and they get what they want. But we also have to make sure our influencers are happy and that their vision and rates, for example, are also met, and that they are able to be creative with the content that they're creating for in partnership with the brand. So our role is to really make sure that an influencer is aligning themselves with brands and therefore products that they truly authentically like, and also make sure that they get paid and get paid appropriately for the work that they do, because essentially they are providing a paid media service. And while it should be oftentimes the payment of an influencer can exist under a PR budget, it can exist under a marketing budget, or it can exist under an advertising bucket. So therefore, my business partner, Jenna, and I, we are often dealing with ad agencies, PR agencies, internal PR professionals within a company, as well as marketing professionals. So we, the influencer space kind of has this blurred line that is related to advertising as well as marketing, as well as communications and PR. So it is an interesting space. And I feel like when you're working with a brand and the budget that pays for that influencer kind of can come from any of those industry sectors.
Okay. So you just opened up like just a barrage of questions now that I have that I did not have before. So first you mentioned that you're a woman, your audience for influencers is basically women. Are you and are other agencies fairly niche like that? What would be your niche if you were to select the niche? And should someone who wants to figure out which influencers to find, should they find like a niche agency? Is that a thing, I guess?
I don't think it's necessarily a thing. I think the space in which we're playing in this influencer representation agency world is that there are now so many platforms. So there are platforms like one is called Four. And Four is a platform in which brands can sign up for and influence our members of. And then there are agents like us at Lexan Park, where we are more hands-on with all of the negotiations, with all of the opportunities that come in for our influencers, and we're making sure that we align our influencers correctly or accurately. I would say if you are a brand or an agency, and right now I would say half of our business comes from agency partners, so typically PR agencies.
Okay.
The other half is coming from the brand directly. So, and we've tried to identify if it is a 50-50 split, and I feel like every 1 month might be more brands, the next month our clients more on the agency side. So it really is a good 50-50 split there. But if you are a brand or you are an agency wanting to work with an influencer, typically the way that communication or the outreach happens is by the brand or agency identifying the influencer, reaching out to the influencer, and then the influencer will put you in touch with our management team, or the contact information on an influencer's social channels or on their website will say, for partnerships, please email so-and-so. And it will have, for example, our influencers have hello@lexanpark.com as their email button on Instagram, so that any brand that wants to reach out to them comes to our Lexan Park email, instead of our influencers being bogged down with emails all day, every day.
Okay. And then, you guys also primarily focus on women influencers. Are they just women? Or are they in a specific space? Because obviously there's like a wide range of different vertical markets.
Yeah. So Jenna and I, my business partner and I, we both come from PR and marketing backgrounds, and primarily have worked with businesses that are targeting women. And so we really launched Lexan Park because we had a few influencer friends of ours saying, you work in PR, you know all these brands, can you please represent me in connection with these brands and I'll give you a cut? And we said, sure. And that turned from two influencers to three influencers. So now we have more than a dozen. And Can we repeat your question? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, you're mostly women focused. Is there a specific vertical that you focus on, or is it just women influencers in general, or is it like a specific demographic?
Thank you. Yeah. So in 2019, which is when Lexan Park launched, we launched with a focus on women and moms. And by the end of 2019, we had some non-moms, but still women, and women who eventually wanted to start a family, but it wasn't a top priority for tomorrow, knocking on our door with interest of joining Lexan Park. And so in 2020, we are now all women. And primarily they are women who are producing family-friendly content and run the gamut of all lifestyle. So we've worked with brands from in the fashion world, the tech world, fitness, food, house cleaning products, restaurants, fertility apps. So we are content that we or the brands that we partner with run the gamut of all things lifestyle, but particularly lifestyle products and brands that women would be interested in.
Okay. Well, that's really good, because I think that's really specific, especially for influencers who want that kind of reach. They can reach out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I do think brands and agencies have a lot of opportunity, a lot of possibilities in terms of who they reach out to. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I don't think that most agencies are so specific like ours.
Okay. I do have another question, but I'm going to save that one to the end. It's a little more spicy of a question. Oh, okay. just to get to more in the dynamics of what you do, this podcast, I think, really targets more target marketers and brands who want to partner with influencers or who may want to partner with influencers. Mm-hmm. So as a brand, how do you know if your brand should consider like an influencer strategy? And are there just like a few tips that you can pull us through to identify, like, am I ready to do influencers and should I do it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I will say, specifically considering the time in which we're in right now, where we are under, you know, the shelter in place policies and, you know, there are restrictions as to the grocery stores we can go to, how often we should go to them. And there's also, obviously, the media attention is totally focused on all things COVID. So in a time like right now, influencer marketing, especially if you are an e-commerce brand or sell anywhere online, influencer marketing would be a great way to tap into your audience, because you're hardly going to be able to break through the clutter of the media talking about COVID. And not that that's clutter, but
right.
So it's going to be hard to break through the COVID conversations in the media, but it's also going to be hard for your target consumer to find your product organically by them going to the grocery store or going to the shopping mall, because they're not going to those places anymore.
Yes. So
influencer marketing right now is a great way for your brand to build awareness and be presented to an audience that wants to hear about your brand and your products from someone they want to hear about.
Right. So
if you are wondering whether or not you should tap into influencer marketing and how to tap into it, mm-hmm. My best advice is to start small. You know, if you are a brand and you have your eye on 5 influencers that you think would speak very well to your brand and align with your audience, reach out to them. All, you know, on Instagram, all these influencers have a contact button. It has their email address connected to it. They all check their direct messages every day. So reach out to them and ask them, you know, I have this product. Would you want to try it? And I think influencer marketing, there are 2 real ways to work with it, paid or unpaid. And of course, influencers don't love the unpaid opportunity, nor do we as an agent. But the unpaid influencer opportunities allow you to test the market and kind of dip your toes in the water. And if you feel that the response you're getting from influencers is that everyone wants to get paid, then you simply say, can you please send me your rates? Can you please send me your media kit? Mm-hmm. I'm looking for 1 Instagram post and a set of Instagram stories. How much do you charge? So while these influencers are well known and and maybe famous in our eyes because we hear them, we invite them into our homes every day, they are also just people. And so reach out to them and ask them for what you're looking for, and say, I'm a new brand, or I'm, you know, my client's launching a product. This is what we'd like to do. Are you interested in helping us promote the product? And just be transparent about what your goals and objectives are.
Okay, that's great. I think that actually, again, segues into the next question, which I think these are all tied together. And it's a little bit of my spicy question. You were talking about payments. And so I'll ask you my direct question first and then the spicy part a little bit later. But if you're a brand, like, what can you expect as far as, I mean, you were saying that your influencers range from 10,000 to 500,000. Mm-hmm. You know, is the sliding scale based on how many people they have as followers? Or like, what is the price range? What can people expect to pay? And what is a good starting budget if you are starting out?
So great question. As someone who represents influencers, we do monitor their rates on a monthly basis to make sure that our rates are in line with the type of work we're getting for them. So rates typically are built upon followers, engagement, and also demand. So if you are an influencer of high demand and you're typically charging $500 for an Instagram post, if in the same week you have a bunch of brands reaching out to you and you want to work with all of them and they all want to, and they're all really excited to work with you, well, now you're under more demand. So try bumping up your rates a little bit to make sure that your time is being used wisely and that you're getting the best opportunity and able to prioritize.
Right. But that's from an influencer perspective. What about from a brand perspective who's like not sure how much to pay? Like, what is a good rate basically? Like, let's say I'm going to make up an example for you. Yeah. Let's say I'm a new organic snack brand, and I want to partner with an influencer. How much should I be paying for a post? And also, this is like another kind of, how much should I be paying for a post? And what kind of post should I be looking for? Because you can get a story, a Facebook story, an Instagram story, mm-hmm. a post, like what is the dynamic of that?
So I think there are a few things there in terms of the basic package to ask for in terms of what an influencer can deliver you. In today's world, with Instagram really being the primary channel for all influencers, I would ask for an in-feed Instagram post and an Instagram story. And typically you would suggest that you would like three frames. Okay. So not just one frame, but three frames. And obviously if you're working with someone that has more than 10,000 followers, they will have the ability to swipe up. And so as a brand or an agency, you have the ability to say, make sure you include the link to my product or my website. And you can even change the URL so it's trackable. So in terms of payment, if you talk to someone, for example, I was talking to an influencer, a few influencers this week. One has, I think she's 125,000 Instagram followers, and she was going to charge me $8,800 for an in-feed Instagram post, where I then spoke with someone who had 200,000 followers, and they were going to charge me the exact same thing. So that just comes from, they're managed by different people.
Is that just a single post?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So it can really, it runs the gamut. The women we manage, again, range from that 10,000 follower to 500,000 followers. Our packages really range from $200 for something like a set of Instagram stories only, mm-hmm. to $4,200 for someone that is going to do a blog post, an Instagram post, an Instagram story, and an e-newsletter about your product.
Oh my God. I just see the dollar signs like lining up in my eyeballs.
So it really does run the gamut. And I think as a brand or if you're at a PR agency, I think you have the ability to negotiate oftentimes. Sure. Where you're going to find those discounts or negotiable items, mm-hmm. are activating the influencer for a longer duration.
Yeah.
So instead of just saying, I want one Instagram post during 1 month, say, I want to work with this person for 3 to 6 to 9 to 12 months. And okay. The benefit of doing that, what I have found, if you're sitting in a brand seat or an agency seat, is then you're locking that person in for a price. And you're saying, right, okay, for 3 months, I'm going to pay you $1,000 a month to do these things, versus that that person will likely increase their rates over time. And so locking yourself in for 3 months saves you from having to deal with the fact that in those 3 months, they're probably increasing their rates.
Right. And then you don't have to like negotiate every single time. You guys have a working relationship.
Exactly. And it allows the influencer to be a little bit more authentic in what they're promoting, because you see it, the consumer will start seeing that product or that brand mentioned in their stories or in their in-feed post more regularly. And it will just feel like, oh, that person really does like this shampoo or really does like this coffee.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I know this is a loaded question again, but what do you think is a good starting budget? If I wanted to try out some influencer relations, what kind of money should I put aside per month, and what is the duration?
Well, I would look at it as how many influencers do you want talking about your brand? So I typically, when building influencer programs, so Lex and Park also will work with a brand. If a brand comes to us and says, we have no idea what to do, build us a program, we typically, and we would reach outside of our network to build, to implement a program for a company, but we would estimate at about $500 to $1,000 per influencer. Mm-hmm. And you could also approach an influencer and say, I have $1,000. What can I afford? Or send me, and oftentimes as a brand or agency sitting in that role, you would just say, send me your rate card. And then from there, you can negotiate.
You kind of put together something yourself. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I'm in saying, what are your rates versus I can pay you X.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think most people are coming at this, like, it's always hard to get budgets out of people, but I think it is important for people to like lay out, like, this is how much money I have to spend. What is possible here? Mm-hmm. But I think the fear when you say how much money you have to spend is they just spend the max amount of money that you have. So
yes,
it's a tricky little game that you have to play, but I like the idea. Like you said, $500 to $1,000 per influencer might be a good starting thing to consider. Mm-hmm. And then how many influencers you want to work with. Right.
Right. And so when you're thinking about that too, I often find that brands hear the word influencer and they think Kim Kardashian, and they're like, yeah, well, I can only afford one of those, if any.
Yeah.
Or one Justin Bieber, or, one reality show star. Well, think about it. If you were to work with 10 influencers that may have a lower following, but might have actually more engagement. So it may be better for you to work with 5 micro influencers versus 1 or 2 macro influencers.
Well, that was going to be my spicy question. So If I wanted to do a post with one of the Kardashians, just for fun, what is the price tag on something like that?
Oh gosh. If you wanted to work with someone of the level of a Kardashian, I think for them, you've got to consider your timing, similar to an ad buy. The Kardashians may be really expensive to work with right around Super Bowl because they're busy and they are getting a lot of other opportunities and options.
Sure.
But I think you better reserve $300,000 or more in order to get at least, a couple Instagram posts or Instagram story mentions. But I'm not sure. I have not worked with that level of influencer. And I don't know if I want to. I really like these micro, mid-tier, macro level.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot more like, it's almost like being an agent to a celebrity. I mean, that's what it is, right? It's like you're in a micro level, you're agents to these mini influencers or mini celebrities. And so, yeah, it's basically that same thing, just on a huge level. Which is scary. 300,000. I actually, a long time ago, this was like maybe 8 years ago, I worked with Monster Energy, and there is a YouTube personality named Jenna Marbles. And I don't know, I probably shouldn't be saying this on the podcast, but at that time, and this was a while ago, she's asking for $75,000 just to have the product in the video. And we were like, what? And we didn't, that is not saying what she's going to do with the product or if she's even going to mention it. It's just to be in the video, be placed in the video. And I think she was also in high demand. Like you're saying, it was a timing thing. She was in high demand at the time. So she was working with a lot of big brands, but we were like 75,000 just to be in the video. Don't know if that's going to give us the exposure that we're looking for. So I think it's also, what is the intention, or what kind of call to action are you looking for? Because they might just want a brand mention, like, I just want my brand to be next to this person, or they might want something more, right? Like in context of the brand.
Exactly. And which actually leads me to, as you know, brands and agencies are thinking, do we want to pay for an influencer, or do we want to try going the unpaid route?
Yeah.
And I can tell you that offering money, even if it is below an influencer's rate, will guarantee you placement, first of all. So unlike with PR and you're, you know, pitching Self Magazine, Shape Magazine, all the publications, and you don't know who's going to actually pick it up until they do, or until they might respond to you, paying an influencer is a guaranteed placement.
Right.
You're also able then to send them your key messaging. And because you're paying them, they have to hit on some of those messaging points.
Yeah.
And you're also able to ask for review and approval of all content that's going to be shared before it's shared. So there's more quality control. Yeah. And then again, because you're paying them, you have the ability to ask for the reporting and the insight. So typically that's in the form of a screenshot and say, you know, 24 hours after this goes live, or 7 days or a week, send me screenshots of your content.
Yeah.
When you're not paying them, you don't have the right to send them anything. They don't have to say your messaging points. If you send them a creative brief, they can ignore it. So paying them does provide you some security and reduce the amount of risk.
Right. No, that's a good point. That's a really good point. I work mostly in the earned media space. So we've done reviews where we've had negative responses, and mostly a lot of people are gracious, especially if you have a relationship with them. They won't review a product if they don't have something nice to say, but I have gotten negative reviews, and that hurts, especially if it's a big outlet and you've already given them the product and they're having a bad experience. Like, you cannot control that, and you can't control anything they say. And it really impacts how other people look at the product. And I've had a couple of bad experiences like that, which, you know, you can't do anything. It's there. It lives there.
Right. And then with the paid influencer piece, you know, we have secured a few deals where a brand sends, they agree they're going to pay. They agree that, you know, we're all moving forward. They've sent the messaging points. They've sent the brand brief, creative brief. The influencer receives the product and she doesn't like it. It doesn't smell good. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't work the way it was supposed to work. And so we let the brand know, and we walk away from the deal. We return the products if needed, and we walk away from the deal, because at least at Lexham Park, our influencers don't promote anything that they don't truly believe in and truly like, even though they are getting paid for it.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So again, it's that you're, you know, reducing the amount of risk involved.
Right. Right. So I guess, how long does it take before you know it's working for you? So let's say I'm working with an influencer. I work with one influencer. Am I supposed to see results immediately? Does it really take me having like a program to see if it's going to work? You know, I've seen a little bit both ways. When we do stuff with influencers, it's earned media. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's usually for us, it's quantity, because they're smaller numbers. But bigger quantity. But like, when do you know an influencer program is working? Like, how long should you kind of give it a shot for?
Well, that's a great question. And I would say walk into an influencer program with an objective. If these two or three things happen, this is success for our business. Mm-hmm. So whether that is increased exposure, which you're going to get, and drive traffic to your website, drive sales. And typically, traffic to the website, awareness will happen no matter what. Mm-hmm. Traffic to your site will likely happen. Conversions may not happen on the first try with one influencer. It may take an influencer, the theory in an advertising world is it takes someone seeing something 7 times before they make a purchase. And obviously that number changes depending on the price range of the product, but
right.
If an influencer talks about it for 1 day, 1 time, in 1 post, even if 300,000 people saw that post, there may not be a conversion taking place, that someone may not be buying that product. So they've only heard about it and seen it once. Mm-hmm. But if you, again, thinking back to, you know, if you're locking down an influencer for 3, 6, 9, 12 months, you're going to be able to track over time how much is that person selling because they're talking about it a lot. They're featuring it in their day-to-day activities.
Actually, that brings up a good question, just one that I have. If you're working with an influencer and they are working with you long-term, what about affiliate marketing? What about those kinds of deals?
Yeah. So, and actually I was going to give an example. We worked with this brand. They're an awesome women-owned business and they make protein powders and protein cookies and they're awesome. And one of our influencers was representing them and are promoting their products. And we had a 6-month deal with them. And we did not drive a lot of sales, or she did not drive a lot of sales in the first 2 months. But by the time October, November, December rolled around, her code, because we had access through an affiliate link, we had access into a dashboard where we could track how much traffic she was driving and how much sales she was driving. And we noticed that it did take about her talking about it three times for her audience to really move forward and make the purchase. Because again, they trust her already, but when they hear her talk about something multiple times, there's more trust involved. And so in that case, affiliates are interesting. As an agent, we don't take affiliate programs for our influencers because it's a tricky financial situation for us. We would not get that much gain out of it. So it doesn't make sense for us to build those deals for our influencers. But for some brands, it really works and it's more valuable to them because they feel like everyone has a little skin in the game. But the way we deal with brands and agencies that come to us offering affiliate deals, we say, hey, we're going to forego the commission of the affiliate program. Instead, pay our influencer this flat rate, whether it's a monthly rate or one-time payment. Pay us this flat rate. She'll do everything you ask. We'll even throw in a few extra Instagram stories for you, but we don't need to accept any commission based on the sales this person drives.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know it's a tricky thing and, you know, we've all been asked to do something on an incentive basis at some point in our life. So I guess it also probably depends on the size of the influencer too.
The size of the influencer and the size of the company. I see often smaller brands wanting to do affiliate programs.
Right. Okay, so then I guess my ultimate question, and I have now so many questions that I could have asked you, but maybe that's another podcast, but the ultimate question is, how are you measuring success as a brand? I mean, you did kind of briefly go over having your goals, but how do you measure success as an influencer marketing campaign for you? Maybe the best way to put this would be actually, like, what was a really successful influencer marketing program that you guys have done that you feel kind of proud of?
Yeah. Well, can I give you an example first? That's timely.
Yes. Yes.
I was really impressed with actually two companies. One is Simply Organic and they are a spice company, and they, with everything going on with COVID and people, you know, being home more, having to make 3 full meals for their whole family because everyone's home. They changed their entire content strategy as to try to focus on and help their audience, you know, kind of trek through these difficult times. And so they've come up with a pantry concierge, which they are activating influencers to help once a week, every Thursday. So it's tune in this week on a Thursday. They are doing a pantry concierge program where, as a consumer, you can DM them through Instagram, send them a direct message to say, I have eggplants, what do I do with them? And the influencer of that week will provide a quick and easy, like, 3-step recipe in order to help you use the things that are in your pantry or in your refrigerator that you need to use right away.
I do have an eggplant in my fridge, actually.
Oh, okay. well, coming up, one of our influencers will be the pantry concierge. So please submit your question. and so I really like it when we can help brands who are going through a shift. So brands like this that are thinking, okay, well, we weren't planning on doing this pantry concierge program right now, but now we're doing it because everyone's home. can we work with your influencers and can we make this happen fast? And I really like those type of programs where we are helping them fill a need. Same, we're also working with Jazzercise, and that's been a really fun one because we worked with them months ago, way before COVID was ever a thing. And they've come back to us now saying, with all these people working out at home, can we have your influencers talk about our digital platform and working out at home? So when those are probably our favorite programs are when we're able to help a brand out and to really make an alignment that works well with the influencer and with a brand.
Yeah. And it sounds like you said, very timely too.
Yeah, exactly. And what another great program we've done is we worked with Lane Bryant, and this was a multiple part, you know, multi-tiered program. They worked with one influencer. She happens to be a reporter as well. And so she goes onto the red carpets, and we worked with Lane Bryant to help dress her for her upcoming red carpets this past award season. And we're also in touch to do something with them for Mother's Day. So it's this ongoing relationships that we also really like when brands come back to us and want to keep working with our influencers.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of little nuances in influencer marketing that you like really have to have someone understand all the different little potholes you might step into, or, you know, all the different kitschy things that are happening, because it seems like pretty complicated, actually.
It is. And I think a lot of what I do day to day is education. The agencies we talk to, again, they're mostly PR agencies, and they run the gamut. Some are super savvy when it comes to influencer marketing, and some have not done it before, and that's okay. And Jenna and I have been in this space for, you know, over 15 years in the digital marketing PR space. So we understand it from the agency side. We also now understand it from the influencer side. So we're able to help brands navigate this space. So, you know, we can help you with your agreement terms. We can guide you through, like, you know, we need a campaign brief. Here's what it should include. We need it by tomorrow. So, you know, we're happy to help guide that process, especially for those that may not have done too much influencer marketing in the past.
That's good. Awesome. Well, I mean, I have a lot of questions, but I think we need to stick to the beginner edition of this podcast.
Yeah.
I think we kind of got into a little advanced influencer marketing a little bit there, but thank you so much for taking the time to come on the PR Playbook podcast. I really appreciate it. And then also, if you have any questions for Laura, please find all of our relevant links in the show notes on the PR Playbook podcast main page on our website, thesilvertelegram.com/the PR Playbook podcast. And then you'll have all the different ways that you can connect with Laura. And then Laura, I you know, we'll talk to you about resources and stuff that we can maybe put on for some of our listeners who may want to download some resources on just like learning about the basics of influencer relations. But any specific like plugs or advice or deals or like, do you do like free consults? Any plugs here? This is the plug section.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely email us hello@lexandpark. It goes directly to me. And I would be happy to answer any questions you have, guide you through the process of how to work with an influencer, the best influencer to work with. We are also happy to play around with budgets in order to align with what you were looking for. We can help you determine what deliverables you need for your program. So shoot us an email and we will give you all of our time to help you as much as we can in order to make a partnership happen. Again, it's hello@lexandpark.com.
Perfect. And the website is lexandpark.com, just straight up, right?
The website is coming soon. But okay. In the meantime, you can visit us at Instagram at Lex. It's instagram.com/lexandpark.
Perfect. Thank you so much again. And then do you know what? I just have another question. Influencers who like maybe aren't sure how to work with an agency, do you, I'm guessing you do that side too. So if someone's listening and they're an influencer and they want to learn more about getting involved with an agency or working with brands, are you a good contact for that as well?
Yes, absolutely. We are always accepting new influencers. Our roster grows monthly. So we're open for business. Call me anytime, DM us. Email us, and we would love to bring on any influencers. And we also actually have a program for budding influencers, if you will. So if you are between, you know, the 8,000 to 12,000 follower range and you are not getting deals and you're having a hard time getting brands to pay you and you're not sure why, we also offer a couple different packages for that budding influencer to help them get more deals and or to identify what they could be doing different on, you know, as far as they present themselves to better attract brands.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, great. Good to know. All good stuff that I need to integrate into our programs. Okay. So as usual, if you have any questions, please send us comments, questions, or suggestions to podcast@thesilvertelegram.com, which finally works. I'm getting emails. And that's all for now. Stay safe, get outside, and focus on the positive. See you next time.